take the message of what Scott just sung out into this world. Y'all, God is that family and that God will move. But I know you brought your Bibles. Turn to John. If you didn't bring your Bible, there's one there in the pew. Look on with somebody. So all we're going to look at is the Word of God anytime we come here. Amen. John chapter 8 and verse 37. John chapter 8 and verse 37. If you would, join me in standing and read to honor God's Word. John 8, beginning in verse 37. And right before I read, I want to set the stage for you. Last Sunday, we began looking at the fact that Satan sees the children. And this morning, we're going to look at something that's it's a little overwhelming. I think we need to understand it better. We need to recognize it. We need to know the facts of it. So we look this morning at this, that Satan sees his children. Satan sees his children. And we get an explanation beginning in John chapter 8 and verse 37. Jesus says, I know that you're Abram's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. They answered and said to him, Abraham's our father. And Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that have told you the truth, which I have heard of God, this did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication, we have one father, even God. And Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Now look very closely at verse 44. You're of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of the sin? And if I say the truth, do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Yea, therefore hear them not, because you're not of God. Dear God, it just still overwhelms me every time I read this passage. I thank you for it. I thank you for Jesus' word. I thank you for Jesus personally sharing. I pray, Lord, that you connect from last Sunday when we saw, Lord, that Satan sees the young children and desires for them to be his children. Lord, I pray that you'd hear us this morning, Lord, humbly bowing before you. And for our children, we say, no, Satan, they're not going to be yours. We'll fight you with the whole armor of God. The battle's the Lord's. Dear God, as you look down in our homes and you look down in our church, we say no. We say, Lord, as for our house and as for this church house, we're going to serve you and we're going to lead our children. But Lord, I pray that you would, as only you can, just burn into our hearts and minds the reality of the truth that you're sharing. As you even shared that Satan is a liar, he's the father of lies. And Lord, and continually we see the truth being trampled upon by this world and by many who don't even understand that many are just like the scribes and Pharisees and think that their father's God, but you say no, that the devil is their father. Lord, I pray for that one that doesn't know you this morning. And I pray, Lord, that you'll help us to go out. Lord, I just once again give you my life and this church family. And Lord, we give you our Sunday school again. And you take all the plans that we put together, all the things we've looked at, Lord, and ask, Lord, that you might use us, Lord, to share the gospel and see the lost saved and see many become your children. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Just a quick review if you weren't here last week, because it really connects together. We looked in Daniel and we were looking at the fact of how with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Daniel that the king, who really is a picture of Satan influencing that king, he wanted the children. He wanted, if you would, he said in verse 3 of that Daniel 1:3, bring the children to me. He wanted to have them to be his own. In verse 4, he's saying, bring the best children. And then we talked about, hey, all the children are the best, amen? So God, Satan's wanting them all. In verse 5, there in Daniel, what the king was saying, let me decide daily what the influences the children, what they have to eat and drink, what they see, what they learn. I want to have influence. That's what Satan wants to do. And in verse 5 also, he said, my goal is simply that I want them to stand daily before me and to serve me. And that is what Satan desires. Amen? And oftentimes we'll look at situations and we know and we can pick out people like the king who, if we really think and understand what God is teaching us in the scripture, that's exactly what's happening. They're just being a... And by the way, I would say there's hardly anybody... or many people are just purely evil enough that would even stand up and say, you know, that I'm satanic and I worship the devil and I leave for the devil. But what is happening here, and you have to understand the stage, y'all, as we move under from seeing that Satan wants our children, looks at children when they're young and says he wants them, that Satan sees his children, and Jesus is describing here, and you have to understand what's happening here in John 8 is he's talking to the religious leaders of the day. He's talking to the scribes and Pharisees. He's talking to the people who literally would take, and the scribes, they spent their entire day writing down the word of God. That they were, that's far beyond reading it. I don't know if about me, if I sat in a sermon or if I sat in a meeting or anything, I have to take notes. I've done that at a young age, and I find, as Brother Johnny Hunt said, I'll take a sharp pencil over a sharp mind anytime, and my mind is not as sharp as it used to be, and take notes. So when you're taking notes, you're understanding better, you're remembering better, you're comprehending. So the scribes were doing that with God's word. And the Pharisees had thought they had got so close to God and understand God so much that they were adding additional rules. The number is staggering of the additional rules they added. But these were the religious people of the day. And did you hear what Jesus is saying? Jesus is telling them, you don't know God. You're not a child of God. And he literally in verse 44 says, your father, the devil. That's pretty bold, amen? That's pretty bold teaching. That's pretty bold reality. And he's telling, so what I'm saying to you is this. You may have a boss that you kind of jokingly say, he's the devil, she's the devil. And you may have people in our country or across this world that are leaders, and you may say, man, they're just the devil. Amen? And I'm sure, I know for a fact, Brooke, at times that my wife will say, you acting like the devil. Amen? But the thing is, just like the scribes and Pharisees, people aren't understanding it that way. Amen? They're not connecting it that way. They're not seeing that. And they don't understand that, just like the scribes and Pharisees. So what I want to try to do today is we're going to look at Scripture in verse 8. And it's going to be kind of list form. And if you do like to take notes or you want to underline and highlight in your Bible, it's just kind of practical things to help us identify who are Satan's children. And isn't that a little crazy to think about? That the Bible is literally describing that he is the father, so he has children. What I'm hoping to do is next Sunday to get to the point of not only seeing that, you know, we saw last Sunday Satan sees the young children and he wants them. And now we're going to kind of identify how he is seeing his children. Hope, help us speak to that. Hope, and also, listen, many of these things, Sandy, it happens when we look at other people and say, yeah, some of you will say, hey, yeah, check off. I know a person either that I know or in this world, they meet every criteria. Their father's the devil. But what I found in most every one of the things that we'll look at this morning that I have been guilty of, Brother Steve, at one time or another. I've been guilty of acting like what, Miss? I've been acting like a child of the devil, amen? And the more I do, and I we won't get there obviously today, but I want to read you a quote. I love the B series, Brother Warren Wiersbe, just practical. If you want to get you some Bible software, or you want to have just a basic the B series through the Bible, Warren Wiersbe, it's just great, understandable. But he makes this statement. I really want us to walk a little closer and understand the reality of Satan. That's when we're looking at these messages. But I want you to hear this quote, and I want us to kind of be able to say amen and practice this. Brother Warren Wiersbe says about Satan, he's a formidable enemy. We must never joke about him, ignore him, or underestimate his ability. We must be sober and have our minds under control when it comes to our conflict with Satan. Amen? Amen? And we do sometimes talk a little bit too casually. You know, we do. You know, I think it'd probably be wise if we all would begin to refrain from saying that person is the devil or acts like the devil, because it's just not, there's no comparison really to them and the devil. But understanding some facts of things that help understand what, when he sees his children, what he sees. Maybe God can help us. First of all, not to be guilty of acting that way. Second of all, be able to identify and put our prayers in focus and be able to help anyone who falls in that category. So go with me in John 8, just back to verse 6. It really begins in verse 6 of chapter 8. And like I said, we're going to go quickly, and I'm just going to give you some basic list items that will describe to you when Satan sees his child. It's kind of like, look at it this way. Whenever we see our children, we can get aggravated at our children, amen? Amen? We get aggravated at our children and things they do. But most often when we look at them, I mean, we just see the gift of God and the love, and it's just overwhelming all that we see. My dad, at his desk at home, he had, my dad was pretty simple when it comes to things as it goes, but his desk at home, he had four, I guess there were eight, probably 11 by 14. There were just four pictures that were over his desk there. And they were all of just the children and family, just this, that were there. That's all four basic pictures. And not long ago, I had built me a new desk for my study, and I had kind of gathered together a picture of Brooke and Davy from their wedding, and I had gathered a picture of kind of all my family at the wedding, where my dad was still alive, my mom, and then a picture of Hilton when he graduated from high school, and I've got them there on my desk. And so, you know, just when I look at my children, I see a lot of things, amen? And some of you may not have children, but you've got, you know, nieces and nephews like children. You've got children you've kind of adopted in church or at work. And so when you look at a child, especially one that you're close to, that's yours or you love like they were yours, you just think the thoughts, amen? You just see all these different neat things. So the list I'm getting ready to give you out of the Bible is what, when the father Satan sees his children, what he sees. Verse 6 says, "This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not." One of my all-time favorite scriptures, highlighted in my life, quoted often. I challenge you, it might be, if you've never thought about it, it might should become a favorite scripture of all. Knowing that, and once again, the stage has been set. It's the scribes and Pharisees, religious people talking to him. And they're there, and what we find is, and here's our first item. We find that what they were trying to do, they were trying to tempt and accuse. And remember, Jesus already said, you're Satan, the devil is your father. And so tempting and accusing is a cornerstone. But as they, and when you think of tempt and accuse, accusing takes this form. They wanted to catch him doing something wrong. They had brought to him the lady that was taken in adultery. The Bible tells us that they said they caught her in the very act. I never caught this till later on. I think a preacher, evangelist talked about it. Can you imagine how terrible that is? What group of men should have been out, looking in the windows, lurking in the darkness that they saw this going on? Amen. There was something wrong with the picture there, and we know what it was. They weren't God's children. But they caught her in the very act they brought. And they wanted Jesus. They wanted to be able to catch him saying something, doing something wrong, so that they could accuse him of not knowing God and accuse him of what they called him in. Think about that. So the children of the devil, and when we act like that, and we can be that way, amen? Just kind of waiting. You've got something going on at work, and maybe as somebody recently testified, they really got passed over for a promotion, and somebody else got the job, and they don't know how to do it. There's almost this waiting of, I'm just waiting for them to mess up. I'm waiting for them to mess up so I can say, hey, see there? See, I told you so. And so that's what this group was. And it says that's a characteristic of a child of the devil. They're always looking to find something wrong with somebody or something. It says that they wanted to tempt him. They wanted to catch him and draw him in. But we find as they begin to talk to him, this is my favorite part. It says there in verse 6 that he stooped down with his finger, wrote in the ground as though he heard them not. Now, you know, there ain't a whole lot of dirt around anymore, amen? There ain't no dirt in my study, no dirt right here. There ain't no dirt in your office, no dirt in the car. But I tell you what, it's a good verse to practice, because sometimes when somebody's trying to tempt you and accuse you and you're getting around somebody acting like the devil or they're a child of his, I tell you, I've many a time sat in a meeting. I remember being in the business with Brother Larry, and I bet you I almost bruised my leg sometimes because I wanted to say something, I wanted to do something, and I'm just writing. I wrote on my desk a lot of times on the phone when I'm just writing there, Brother Tony, and I don't want to have a spot in my desk where, see, oftentimes when someone is tempting and accusing and doing all and trying to really get at you, What a great example in the Bible we have. And Jesus said, hey, just act like you don't even hear him. See, Jesus always tells us how to deal. And you'll be amazed at times when people will see how you react. It's so important, and maybe even drawing them to show them what they're doing. Just as recently, I think of maybe last night, I heard testimony of someone saying that they were in a gym in Monroe. Monroe, right? Some of you work in Monroe. Go to Monroe all the time. They were in a gym, and they had brought music with them, and they were playing Christian music in the gym. You know, since they worked out, their little workout area, you know, that's what people do. He said one of the owners of the gym walked over and said, cut that off, and don't ever play that music in here again. Monroe. Looking for opportunities to accuse and tempt. The second one is found in verse 12. Look in verse 12. It says, then spake Jesus again to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me should not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The second thing that a child of the devil does, Jesus, is they walk in darkness. And now I want to, you know, the Bible says that we should love the Lord with all our heart, mind, and soul, and we should love others as ourselves. Amen? And we need to understand, when Jesus gives you this list, and when I'm giving you this list, and the purpose is not that you go out, okay, and look at it and say, oh, yeah, that's a child of the devil. I told you, I thought it. Now the preacher will give me backup of it. It should help us get, when that others that he calls us to love as ourselves, that others group, this list will help us understand and say, wait a minute, that's either coming from Satan because they're a child and they don't know Jesus, or they're acting like it, so it can help me to pause like Jesus did, not be quick to say something or just accuse, and help be able to have more compassion and help have more love. Amen? So that's, let me just kind of interject that. That's the reason for the list, but they walk in darkness. So as you get understanding, you understand why things are going on that you hear. Why there's such an uproar about, you know, what bathroom that you can go into or not go into. Listen, if someone doesn't know Jesus Christ, Jesus says, your father's the devil and you're walking in darkness. And y'all, we've got to have more understanding. If you walk in darkness spiritually, you cannot see any of the things that you see through Jesus Christ. Did y'all hear me? Darkness. I'm not talking about dark with a good moonlight or dark with a good nightlight. When he says they walk in darkness, they walk in complete darkness and have no understanding, can see nothing like we see it. That should help give us more compassion and more understanding of what. That's why we're dealing with what we are in our world. They walk in darkness. In verse 15, we find a third thing, and it is that they judge. In verse 15, Jesus said, you judge after the flesh, I judge no man. I tell you, when Jesus Christ says, I judge no man, I want to learn from that and say, amen. I am not the judge. My job is not to judge other people, but that is a characteristic of a child of the devil. They're continually judging others. I mean, you ever talk to somebody? I've seen people that they're talking, they're so judgmental of everybody. And by the way, y'all, remind you, if you're with somebody and they're judging other people, when you ain't there, they're judging you, okay? But I've had people before and I'm thinking, man, just give them a black robe and give them a gavel. I mean, they qualify. That's what Jesus taught. He said, I didn't come to judge. But they judge. Verse 19, look in verse 19. We move on, it says, then said they to him, where is thy father? And Jesus answered, ye neither know me nor my father. If you had known me, you should have known my father. So verse 19 says the child, they don't know Jesus. They don't know the Father. And you hear the argument that was going on? These very people were arguing and said, Abraham's our father, and Abraham came from God. And so they were very religious people. Amen? And so you look at the different religions of the world. And by the way, as Southern Baptists, we don't have a corner on the truth. Amen? Pray for me. I've got somebody that I'm having an opportunity once again. And for years I've shared Jesus with them. And I really think that God gave me something the other afternoon, and I'm gonna try to connect the scripture into what what they do in their business, and part of it's connected to building things. And I'm thinking, man, I'm gonna try to design a little something for them. It's kind of like a blueprint for knowing Jesus. And Marty, they're used to using blueprints, so I want to try to design, kind of get something I can give with them. And because one thing they would understand often is taking a blueprint and going back and studying the details or making a plan. So I want to try to turn that into the gospel so I can help them understand that the only way that they're going to truly be able to know anything about the Father is through Jesus Christ, his Son. Amen? That's all that makes the darkness go away. Verse 21 makes me shake. Look at verse 21. Then said Jesus again to them, I go my way, and you shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, you cannot come. I'll read that again. Jesus is talking once again to these very religious people. He says, I'm going my way. Isn't that the way we want to go? But he's saying, I'm going my way. And as I'm going my way, because you're in total darkness, you don't know me. As I go my way, you're going to start trying to seek me. But it's going to be too late, and you're going to die in your sins. Y'all, I die in your sins. Y'all, we know through Jesus Christ that because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, we're not going to die in our sins. Amen. We're not going to, and knowing that someone that's the child of the devil, Jesus is saying they're going to die in their sins with no forgiveness and no hope. And he says at the end of verse 21, whither I go, you cannot come. That's why hell is a place of total and utter darkness. But y'all, what we've got to understand is we're dealing, as the Bible says, it's a narrow way, and few be that find the path that Jesus Christ has. And we're dealing with people all around us that are in total darkness. And they're going to die in their sins, and they're going to live for eternity in not only spiritual but physical darkness. And y'all, we need to be like that. John the Baptist crying in the wilderness. And as I said about Scott's song, that great old hymn that we are so excited about how great our God is. And all we can talk about is how great our God is, and how that maybe you add this verse, and I'm not, because he's so great, I'm not going to die in my sins. And where he goes, as he went back to heaven and ascended, one day I get to come and I get to be with him. I mean, that should be how everywhere we go, we should have that excitement. Look at verse 23. He said to them, you are from beneath, and I am from above. Ye are of the world, and I'm out of this world. Boy, doesn't that describe it well? Jesus said that when Satan sees his children, he sees ones that have just, they've got his characteristics, they're doing all these things, we're listening, they're from beneath. And that one statement, verse 23, are of this world. I think it might have been, I don't know, Davey, was it your sister one time in the back of her car had the scripture that pitched her from another world or not of this world? Maybe it was a statement, not of this world. Y'all, once you receive Christ, we're not of this world anymore. But a child of the devil is truly all they're about. They are of this world. And once again, that helps us understand why there's so much craziness going on in politics and in church and everything, just of this world. In verse 28, and we've got to move on quickly. In verse 28, we find that the focus is on self. Look in verse 28. Then said Jesus to them, when you lifted up the Son of Man, then you shall know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father taught me, I speak these things. Y'all, that should be the cry of us Christians. A cry of a Christian should be, as Jesus said, I do nothing of myself. And so it's the exact opposite of selfishness and pride. Jesus will say, hey, I don't do anything of myself. As the Father have taught me, that's what I'm speaking. I promise you, if we'll make a commitment to be more, our language like Jesus, to be more that comes from God, we'll be a little quieter, amen? We'll be a little quieter. I find myself time. And y'all, it's such a struggling. You know, I like to talk, and many of you like me, you like to talk, but I find myself wanting to practice this and say, okay, it's not about me. I don't want to have a selfish words, and I don't want to be judgmental, and all these things we've listed. And I'm just going to give you the best example. I never told her. She usually this message. She'll hear it now. But oftentimes, one way I'm trying to practice is, and when I go sit down at my mama's house to eat my mama's great food, I'm very comfortable sharing and talking. Amen? You all right? But I find myself not saying as much, and it's the reason I'm sitting there, and I really mean what I'm preaching. So I find myself saying, I'm going to talk about this situation. I said, no, that's not the words of Christ. That's not, you know, Christ-like. That's a selfish thing for me. I catch myself there, and I start to say this. I'm going to say that. I'm going to say this. Now, I won't get that same conviction everywhere, amen? But it's such a thing to know that when Jesus is saying is that a child of the devil, if you're acting like the child of the devil, it's all selfish. It's very selfish. It's all focused. And he says, hey, I just do nothing of myself. In verse 29, It says, and he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. And Jesus did, y'all. Miss Loretta, we have record, we have example that everything that Jesus said, everywhere that he went, all the wisdom of how he looked, and when he was on the cross and he looked down on them and he said, forgive them for they know, everything that he said and did, everything about him pleased the Father. Now that doesn't describe you and I. But there's a Jesus, if you've accepted Jesus, that lives inside of us, that truly our life's goal, our goal for every word, every action, for all day today, beginning Monday through the week, that we want to know that in order not to be acting like the child of the devil, that simply what we need to do is let Jesus shine forth and be able to say, God, I just simply, God, whatever I say and whatever I do, I want to please you. I want to be pleasing to you. In verse 31, he mentions the old world again. In verse 31, he says, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples. A child of the devil is not in the word of God. Not the word of God is not there. Y'all, I tell you something that just makes my heart ache. I have always, there's a few things that I've always just taken to be, even from a young age, and from young and then getting involved in church, and one of those things was the Lord's Supper. You know, just being able to take part in that and the imagery and what it means and respect I have for that, for the Word of God, and just respect and honoring it. And in marriage is a God-anointed institution that's so sacred. And y'all to know now that people talk all the time about how they go online and they become an ordained person who can do a marriage ceremony. It's even in that show, what is it, the Bachelor, about whatever it, and the host. He's married some of those couples. He's become ordained. I hear it so often now, and even this week, I was sitting in the hospital. Miss Linda, you were back. Thank God you was in surgery asleep and didn't have to hear this part I heard, but I don't know if anybody caught it, but The View was on. Oh, my, you know, we should have ran from the room, Brother David. But The View was on, and that Joy Bear was sharing how she had become an ordained person through that simple process so that she could marry two men that wanted to be together. But here's what came. One of the other people on the panel said, did you use the Bible? And she very proudly, with a big smile on her face, Randy, said, no, I didn't use the Bible. Well, hello? Yeah, you can't use the Bible and do that. But that's where we're at. See, just no regard for the word. Y'all, listen, let me help you as you minister. And my heart aches. I have people in my extended family who live that lifestyle, okay? And some of you do too. What do we say? What do we do? Y'all, it's simply finding the Lord. Here's the problem. I'll confess this. Most often when I sit down to read the Bible for devotion, or I sit down to read the Bible to prepare for a message, I come across things and I'm like, I don't understand it fully. I got to study more and understand it. Y'all, it's my life's work to study His Word and to preach His Word. That's basically all I try to focus on, amen? So how can the average person who's kind of drifted away from church, or maybe drifted away from the Word of God, or gotten to church, though, that doesn't preach and stand on the Word, and they backed away from certain parts of the Word, how in the world can we expect them to understand what we're talking about today? They either don't ever get to it. See, the point of what we're trying to see, they're just not in the Word, amen? And they're not disciples of His. And we need to be aware of that, because I hope you would all join me and say, there's a lot of the Word that I haven't covered. I don't understand. I didn't realize it's there. And either I read it and don't. I want to study through Proverbs. I've challenged you to say, there's a Proverbs for every day. I love to read the Proverbs for wisdom, talk to the children about it. And you know what I'm guilty of? I have never studied through the book of Proverbs or preached a series of messages through the whole book. And I still, on a daily basis, and the day's the 24th, I can sit down, tomorrow's the 25th, and I can read through passages. And I'll stop and say, I have no idea what they're talking about. And I sure do need to go back sometime and study that and understand it better. Y'all all right? So that's why, and listen, what we're finding from Jesus, the facts are people who are children of the devil and living like it or doing things, they're just not in this world. They don't understand the world, not exposed. And how are they going to get exposed to it? I dare say that many of them are going to take time to sit down and read and study this. But y'all know where I'm going here. We're the Word. We're the Word. And we've got to find some way in love to continually share the truth of the Word. I mentioned this friend of mine that I so desperately want to see saved. Probably that's going to change my preaching on it, because I catch myself being with them and I'm like, well, here, I'm telling the church, be bold, do this, do this. And I'm in that situation, I'm saying, Lord, I've talked to them about Jesus and I've given them scriptures, and what do I do today? Brother Larry, what do I say today? What else can I say? And I think God helped me a little bit, or maybe helped me a lot of it. I realized that maybe they just need to see more of the Word of God in my life. Maybe I better think a little bit more. Remember what Jesus said? What I say and do pleases Him. Nothing's of myself. It takes a little pressure off, because I find myself, when I start checking it, like I told you, my mom's conversations, a lot of times there's nothing to say. But He says they're not in His Word and they're not His disciples. And that's part of what we're talking about with Sunday school. I close with this, and I'm out of time, but we talk about seeking Him. Remember I told you when Matthew talks about seek the kingdom of God first? The mantle of what we were taught in the Sunday school material that Aaron and Marty went over with us was to reach, to teach, and to minister. So we've been seeking Him before we get here on Sunday morning, and then we come to reach through Sunday school others. And we just want to help everyone, especially not in Sunday school, to how do you do that? I'm sitting here confessing to y'all that I'm asking you to pray for me. I'm struggling right now how to continue to share Jesus with somebody, okay? So we need help, amen? We need tools, we need structure, we need other examples, we need so that how do we as a Sunday school group reach out and simply be more disciples wherever we go? I keep saying I'm closing, but I just met Katie's brother yesterday. I thought I went to see him to get him to help me do something. And it weren't long that I said, here has got nothing to do with getting Brooke's car fixed. He shares some things. He's just passionate. He works with the men in his church, and he's just passionate. He asked me the question. He said, what are y'all finding? How can we reach the men? And it excited me. So I tried to share a little wisdom and encourage a little bit, but y'all, that's what we all need, amen? So I'm going to ask you to come to Sunday school so we can, and that's one reason you took the board down over here, okay? You know, how many people have come or what the numbers are, but I'm guilty so often that Satan can look at me, and I know Jesus is my Father, okay? God's my Father, but Satan can look and say, yep, he's acting like my child today. He's acting like my child today. And I don't want to do that to y'all. I want to be in the Word. I want to be disciples. So pray for me. I'm going to pray for you. I'm thinking maybe just how can I be more of a disciple? And that was along the times. And pray for me that God kind of gave me. I said, wait, okay, if I'm a good disciple, then I'll be creative about how I share the gospel. So it's not about me saying, you need to get saved or you're going to hell. You know that. And I've said that. But maybe a way of saying, oh, y'all don't miss this. So pray for me. I hadn't even put it together. I'm like, maybe what I can do is connect the Word and how the Word describes something they understand from life, amen, that I've learned from being a disciple. Let's pray. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Maybe there's someone here and there's no peace in your heart right now. Jesus is knocking on your heart's door and you're realizing that, wait a minute, I'm afraid I'm like a scribe or Pharisee. I need Jesus. Oh, I pray that the psalm begins, you'll just run down and let us open the Bible just as Jesus opened the Word and show them how they can know Him. Be nothing more exciting today. But how do you just need to come and just need to pray about that person you want to share Jesus with? Or how many would you come and say, how am I going to be involved in this new Sunday school plan? Or just come pray and say, you know, do I need to be involved? Or how would you use me? What, and maybe some of you are just so hurting by something you've heard or happened, something physical and yet you've told or struggled with, and you're saying, just preacher, I can't even hear what you're saying because I'm so consumed with my problem. And Jesus, through that still small voice, I believe maybe constantly said, just come to my altar and fall down before me. Sometimes, y'all, there's no more comfortable place than just on your knees, just kind of huddled up there with Jesus. And let Him touch you. And I pray if we don't know what's going on, that you would let me or someone know, and we'll keep it confidential so that we might care for you and walk with you through it. Maybe God has really led you and you don't, maybe don't even fully understand it yourself, what in your plan, but He wants you to be part of this body of Christ. And we open our doors and not only say we welcome you, but we need you. When we give you this invitation, let it be your invitation. Let your Spirit move. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hymn number 598.